Well, again, good morning, and we are beginning this hopefully anticipated experience of 40 days of blessings. And the title of this morning's message is Behold the Blessings. Behold the Blessings. As I mentioned last week, as we try to make some sense of preparation for the blessing, we begin in a full-fledged sense, and hopefully to see and sense and share in the blessings of God during these 40 days. I passed that to you last week, and if you need more copies, there is a blessings resource table in the mall area right outside the worship center here. There was a little calendar of events, opportunities of blessings. I encourage you to get another one of these. Keep it on your refrigerator or in your Bible or on your dashboard, wherever it is that you are most conscious of keeping things so that you'll keep them before the front of your mind and heart. 7 Sundays of blessings. This is the beginning Sunday. And we're glad that you're with us today. 7 opportunities of blessings. Those opportunities really began Wednesday night. As you see, there's going to be 7 Wednesdays of just an opportunity. You can't do everything, but if you would desire to have a place to come and pray with others or have someone pray with you, there's a place listed there, and John will meet you there. It's not a service. It's a prayer time. And we encourage you to come. You can be come and go. That's an opportunity. That started Wednesday. That's the first of the 7 Wednesdays of prayer. And then there's going to be 7 minutes a day of prayer, which I'll be talking about in just a moment, to follow along in the prayer guide that you see in your worship guide. And we also have extra copies. We encourage everyone to get one, for you, during these 40 days of blessings. And again, the first opportunity of blessing as far as an engagement was yesterday, what I've called the identification blessing, because we first identify with Christ and then we go and identify with someone else's human need. It's like the cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And that began yesterday. And thank you for so many of you responding. As Bob said, we had several hundred. Our church is always the largest representation. That's not to pat ourselves on the back. That's to praise God for His grace. And I thank you as a pastor for responding that way. If you were a part, if you had an opportunity to be a part of, and it wasn't, listen, I know it's been called addressing Mesquite, but it's really blessing Mesquite. That's what it's about. It's blessing Mesquite. If you were a part of blessing Mesquite yesterday, would you stand to your feet? Come on, stand up. Stand up. Let's thank God for these. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. Thank you for giving your time, energy, and effort being involved in that process and sharing. It wasn't just to paint and clear weeds. It was about that, but it was to minister to someone in need in the name of Jesus and to possibly share Christ and pray with that one. And John did a great job of reminding us that it's our deeds of righteousness wrapped in the bride's gown. I've never worn a bride's gown, but I wondered what it was like when he was sharing that yesterday. We won't talk about that, Gary. I don't know why I'm not surprised that you would say that. But anyway, but thank you for being a part of that and letting your deeds become a part of the clothing of Christ in your life to this community. Again, on the resource table for 40 Days of Blessings, we have some little, looks like business cards. We don't have a picture on the screen, I don't think, but it looks like a business card and like a hand with a beam of light coming out of the hand like that. The ladies in the office did a great job. It's called Blessings From Me to You. That's what it says on the front of the card. And on the back, it says Sharing the Blessings of God. And then Mimosa Lane Baptist Church in one line if you want to sign your name. I want you to become conscious that you are a vessel and an instrument of the blessings of God to this world. I want you to begin to live with that sense of consciousness. And this card is an opportunity for you to take that. Take several. If we run out, we'll provide some more in the coming weeks. You take that, and it could be you want to be a blessing to someone in the office. Maybe you want to buy them lunch. Maybe you want to send them flowers. Maybe you want to send them a note. Maybe you want to do something anonymously. And yet, you can leave this card if you want to sign your name. I know there's some blessings that you can't keep anonymous, because if you're mowing somebody's yard, you know they're going to kind of see you out there unless you can't do it at midnight or whatever. But if you want to sign your name, that's wonderful. You're saying, because God's blessed me, I want to be a blessing to you. Or if you just want to leave the card, do something for someone and not sign your name, that's wonderful as well. Become conscious of opportunities to be a blessing of God, because you are the resource of God's blessings where you live and where you are. And then also in your worship notes today, there should have been a little blue card like this called 40 Days of Blessings, a commitment card. Do you have one of those? Wave it at me if you've got one. I want to make sure you've got one. There was probably one per worship guide. We didn't put two or three in there because it looked like it's raining little notes all over the sanctuary, because you're always dropping them out. But I want you to, this is an opportunity for you to sign this. Let me tell you the nature of this. This is not to be a hard, rigid, legalistic framework to guilt trip you. Okay? It's not to do that. I know, because of time constraints and opportunities, and even some events are not designed for 600 people to go show up, okay? But it's to create a sense of commitment level, a focus in your own mind, to be available to God to do what God leads you to do with regard to those opportunities of blessings that we mentioned here. Again, there's several things that are still coming up around the corner. The next event is the worship blessing, the concert that Randall's going to mention some more about. The life blessing, the blood Carter drive, which we're donating. We're giving our blood in the name of Mesquite Schools, because if they have a student or a parent or a family that needs blood, we're going to say, and we've already asked Dr. Linda about that opportunity. She said we'd love to. I said our church wants to be a blessing to this community, a blood drive. And then the fall festival, a food clothing drive. My mom already said, when I shared some things about what we're doing, she said, good. That's where your dad's clothes can go. You can give them to somebody in your community. That's my mom's heart. So these are opportunities to be engaged in what God's doing. And then the Thanksgiving blessing, feed the troops. Again, we don't need 500 people. But if you, God's tugged on your heart to be a part of that. And then the last one is the Great Turkey Takeout. But this is what I want you to do. This simply says, I will commit to faithfully attend the 7 Sundays. Again, you may already have obligations that can't allow you to come. It's not about not signing this if you can't come. But if you can make a commitment, and if it's up to your discretion, I ask you to encourage you to pray that God would have you be here these next 7 weeks. I will participate in as many of the blessing opportunities as my schedule allows and that I'm physically able. I will commit to pray at least 7 minutes a day using the 40 Days of Blessing prayer guide, and I will seek to live out the blessings of God through personal and practical ways. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, if you can do it being led by the Spirit of God, not because I'm asking you to do it, you sign it because of me, it's a waste of time. I know it and you know it, so let's don't play games. But if you can commit free of God's Spirit to sign this during the invitation time, I'm not going to make it easy on you unless you can't physically come down front. During the invitation time, I want you to come, bring your blessing card, put it on the altar. And this is a way to say, I'm going to keep these next 40 days about how God would want to bless my life so that I can be a blessing to others. Keep that in the forefront of your mind and your heart and your spirit as we walk these days together. So if you can do that, I'll encourage you to sign it. If you don't have enough cards, you may not can do it in the invitation time today. On the blessing table, the resource table, there's cards there. You can sign it. There's a basket on that table. You can place it there, and I encourage you to do so. You see in your worship notes this morning, the God of the Bible blesses lives. He stands willingly and deeply desires to pour out upon people gracious and uncommon gifts. Wow. The Bible is a compendium of who's who's of lives God has blessed. But where do we begin to understand the life God chooses to bless? What does it mean to be blessed by God? And what must I do to invite the blessings of God? I know one thing is for sure, as you see in your notes. We must decide what we really want for our lives. How much do we desire God's blessings? The Bible gives a graphic image of Jacob wrestling with God throughout the darkness of the night, refusing to let go until he extracted a blessing from God. Thankfully, we don't need a hammerlock to squeeze a blessing from God. But we must earnestly want it above all else. Blessings is not something we aim at directly. Notice this. Key, critical, center of everything. Blessings is not something we aim at directly. It's the byproduct of a life that seeks God and His kingdom, which then results in all the other things being added to us. Turn with me, please, to the text you see listed in your worship notes. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. You got your cheat notes open and God's Word? Let's stand together as we read God's Word together. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. The biblical principle here is very clear. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing in your home, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your state, on your job. You don't have a job simply to earn income to feed your family. Yes, it is true that we as Christians are to provide for our own. The scripture says if we don't provide for our own, we are worse than an infidel. A part of the Christian witness is taking care of our family responsibilities and obligations. But that job is not just a pragmatic way of putting food on the table. It is a place to bear the witness and presence of Christ. Your job is a place to witness and bear the presence of Christ. You are a doorway of the blessings of God in that sphere of influence on your job. The old hymn we used to sing, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. Do you want to be a channel? Or do you want to just receive and receive and receive and receive and receive and not give? But how can we flesh out the blessings of God, for instance, as a teacher? Well, we're going to find out this morning. Had the opportunity to visit with someone. Let's watch this interview together this morning.
I'm here with Sharon Wingard. And first of all, Sharon, I want to say thank you for being willing to share a little bit of how God's blessed your life and how you share those blessings through your life. So tell the church, maybe some of the folks that don't know you well, just a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Sharon Wingard, and I've been at Mimosa for, I guess, about 15 years. And I was born in Dallas, and I have been teaching now for 23 years in 7th grade. I became a Christian when I was a small child, and really feel like I'm blessed by God in every way.
You know, as we're talking about this series of experiencing and sharing the blessings of God, how would you say you express God's blessings in your life in this classroom? We're sitting in your classroom today. I mean, how do you live out God's blessings here?
That's a good question, Rocky. One thing I would probably say, first of all, is that the real work of prayer for me is really not just blabbing all the time to God, but in being silent until I hear His voice that I am blessed. And then I think when you really know that you are the beloved and you are blessed, that you can't help but want to bless other people. That's probably my...
I know that in the classroom nowadays it's kind of a touchy thing about how to express your faith or what to say and what not to say. How do you balance that tension between your real heart to share Christ?
You know, it's really interesting because every morning we kind of have a silent moment of meditation, and they don't call it prayer. But every day I stop and bow my head. And I just this last week I had a boy say to me, Miss Wingard, you know, what do you do when you bow your head? And I said, well, I tell God I cannot get along without Him. Those people who know me know that I'm sort of a broken record about that, that all God wants His children to say is that we can't get along without Him. And then I tell Him, I ask God to reveal His love to him. And so I told him, be open. And so he just laughed. But really and truly, I'm very free to tell children that they are God's beloved. almost everything that we read, somehow or another, I'm able to fit that in. We just finished a book on Ellis Island, and one of the sections on Ellis Island was about slavery, and we said, now, how can that become a good thing? So we began to discuss 200 years of slavery and the sin of that and the horribleness of that. But that led right into me being able to share my personal philosophy about you either live your life feeling cursed or feeling blessed. And I live my life being blessed. So those things that look like curses, I move them to the blessing column. Probably I started that when my mother was dying. Both my parents had been dead about 30 years, and so I lost my parents early. And when mother was dying, I wasn't married, and she was a saint, and she said, now, Sharon, I must decrease and God must increase. And she said, there's a dependence that you have on me that you just need to have on God. And I said, Mother, I tell you, I promise I'll trust God first if you'll just try to live. But anyway, she died, and I really have seen how that I have grown, of course, in my relationship with God because of that. I got cancer then about 15 years ago. I was diagnosed with grade 3 aggressive cancer. And I had a mastectomy and 15, I had surgeries, and I had 40 lymph nodes removed, and I had chemo and radiation. And I decided that when that first happened, some people said to me, you know, are you asking God why? And honestly, from the very beginning, I always knew that the one who was crying the most about that was God. I always knew that I'm his beloved child, and he hated to see me go through that. I think if you have that view of God, that he loves you, and then that just changes your entire life. Because if you deal with pain under the curse, it's just going to reinforce the idea that, you know, oh, see, bad things, cruddy things always happen to me, I'm worthless. And then if you live your life kind of under the blessing, then, you know, you just know that the Father's grieved when you go through a hard time.
Can you think of a particular time, Sharon, when you've experienced the blessings of God, either in relationship maybe to a particular student that you really saw some transformation, or a connection to a family through a student that God allowed you to really connect with them or share his grace and saw some significant change or an opportunity maybe? Any particular student through the years or situation maybe recently?
Well, one of the things that I'm privileged to do is that I build trust early on in my years so that my children will share with me what they're going through. And this present year, I have a child whose mother is undergoing cancer treatment in Guatemala, and she's living with relatives. And then I never have another child who is diagnosed with a psychotic disorder and is loaded down with medicine. Just currently thinking about my students, I have one child whose father has been married 3 times, and, you know, she has asked me, you know, all I want is a little attention from him. And so as I'm able to know their stories, then I am able to minister to them. I've always seen being in the classroom as full-time Christian ministry, and I've never seen any separation between full-time Christian ministry and the secular world.
Amen. Sharon, where are you this morning? Sharon, are you in the service? Raise your hand. I don't know where you're. She's hiding way back here. Sharon, thank you so very much. Usually Sharon is a very timid soul and shy, and we're thankful that you overcame that and shared with us. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you so much. Sharing the blessings of God in a classroom, Thank you so much. 3 things real quickly this morning. Blessings come because of one reason, grace. The blessings of God come from one reason, grace. Turn with me to John 1, verses 12 through 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 through 6. You'll see the words on your screen. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we all received, and grace upon grace. Really, if we had time, we could say grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. All eternity will be the unfolding of the gracious blessings of God. We don't assume on the blessings of God. We don't assume that we are being blessed because we deserve them. Even though that there is a principle of obedience that God has set up and some blessings that are the fruits of obedience, those blessings are not earned because of the obedience. The obedience is simply the doorway through which the grace flows into the life. We never earn any blessing of God. Every opportunity of receiving a blessing from God is simply because God is a God of graciousness and great grace. One of the confusing and problematic things of the experiences in the life of Jesus during his earthly ministry, those religious leaders of his day thought that they did not need the grace of God because they could earn it themselves. If anything, America is cursed because of our great materialistic blessings, which may be a curse, but that's a whole nother matter. But the presumption of the massive things that we have as luxuries and extras and non-essentials when I heard the other day that 34% of the people in India live on less than a dollar a day. That's millions and millions and millions of people. I mean, we're sending more out in our trash than most people live on. We are massively blessed and being raised in a culture which you can place your hands on blessings everywhere you place your hand. You can begin to presume that because we're Americans or we have more tanks than anybody else or we're just smarter than everybody else, we really deserve all of this. Every blessing is simply because of the grace of Almighty God. In Numbers chapter 22, you won't see this verse on your screen, but it's that story when the people of Moab saw the children of Israel coming out and they were great in number, and representatives from Moab sent, the king of Moab sent representatives to the prophet. You remember? Balaam the prophet. And they sent him, asking him to come because this is what they knew about Balaam. He had the power of blessing and the power of cursing because he was God's representative. And the Bible says when they sent representatives to Balaam, they sent with them a fee for the divination. In other words, they perceived, they misunderstood the nature of God's work through Balaam. They thought they could bribe God's blessing. If they just paid God's prophet, he would come and pronounce a curse on the children of Israel because they were more in number and the people of Moab was afraid of them, and they were wanting this representative of God or this man to go place a curse, and they were going to bribe him to do so. How often have we ever thought that we're going to bribe God's blessing? We can preach on tithing, and I believe there are benefits and blessings of tithing, but don't presume just because you haven't been tithing and you're about to lose your job and then you begin to tithe that God's going to say, well, thank you for that $2.50. Now I'm going to help you keep your job. You may lose your job anyway. That's still no excuse for disobedience. You can't dictate how God chooses to unfold His blessings in your life as a result of obedience. We can't bribe God's blessings. And after Balaam said, I'm not going to go, he went and asked God. God said, don't go. You don't need to do that. And they came back, and the scripture says that they sent more dignified representatives to Balaam to ask him. In other words, they were going to impress him to give God's blessings. More dignified representatives. Hear me, folks. Get it clear. Every blessing of God is anchored in grace. We can't earn any of them. It's simply because God chooses to pour out His blessings. Not only grace, blessings come for one purpose. The glory of God. The glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Blessings come not because of who we are, but because of who God is. Blessings declare God. They reveal His character, His heart, His mind, His soul. Every blessing, great or small, is a shout from heaven saying, this is who I am. This is my heart. This is my will. See who I am in your life. Every blessing is a declaration of who God is, not of who we are. It all comes to give God the glory. We do good works to glorify our Father, which is in heaven, which you'll see in a moment. Blessings, therefore, should not stop with us, because they come as a gift and we give them as a gift. And hear me, every time we're blessed on a perpetual, continual, or in a specific way, our focus should never be on just the blessing. We should always look beyond the blessing to see the blesser. Never stop with a gift. Look to the giver. God does not want us to focus on the things He provides, whether that's health or support or encouragement. He wants all of those things, resources, to point to Him as the source, as the cause, as the motivation. It's all about God. And then number three, quickly, blessings come from for one goal, the good of others. Again, that verse, Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let me ask you something. Do you know somebody in your life that needs a blessing from God? Do you know somebody on the job that needs to experience the blessing of God? Aren't you someone who has received the blessing? Isn't God being poured into your life? Doesn't He live inside of you? Do you not have a word, an action, a thought, a prayer, a response to try to share, to be the doorway, the window of God's presence through your life to be a blessing in that place? But understand something. The core of God's blessings are all anchored in a relationship with Him. It's not about stuff. It's about knowing God. If you've got one of these in your hand, would you pull it out? Let me see it. Wave it at me. Again, if you did not get a copy on the 40 Days of Blessings resource table, there's others out there. Thank you so much. It's not that you can't follow directions. It's just that many times you don't. So I'm going to walk 7 minutes a day. I'm asking you, at least. You may have more. Just add this on. I want us to have this journey together. Okay? I want us to have this journey together. This prayer guide, which I designed, is really based on four things. You see that there is a daily prayer list, things that you pray every day. And then there is a today prayer. And the verses in the today prayer changes every day, revealing another aspect from God's word of His blessings. Okay? And you see the daily prayer. It's state your desire for God's blessings. And then the seek purity from all known sin through repentance and submit your request to God. And then the essence of today's prayer is see the promises of God declaring His blessings. Now let me say this before I jump back into this prayer guide. I want to hear your stories. You know, one of the greatest ways we can be a blessing to somebody else is to hear how they were blessed. So this is the deal. During these next 30 to 40 days, this is my desire. I don't know whether God's going to bless this way or not. But if you have an experience, a particular experience, either where you have received a blessing or you've been able to be a blessing, small little or large. You don't filter it. I want to hear your story. It's not on the screen, but this is it. My email is rpope@mimosalane.org. We'll have that on the screen in the coming weeks, rpope@mimosalane.org. I want you to send me a message of a blessing. And my hope is that we'll have several that I can collect and we can do some things like this. Just quick little interviews, real quick. Maybe 30 seconds. This is how God blessed me. This is how I was a blessing. And the last Sunday of our 40 days of blessing, the 22nd, which is the Sunday before the week of Thanksgiving, a large part of the message that day will be hearing what God did in your life. So if you want to have an opportunity to share a blessing, what you received or how you gave, you send me an email and I'll get back to you. All right? rpope@mimosalane.org. Hello. Again, I'm going to walk through this with you. Every day, I'm going to ask you to pray, stating your desire for God's blessings, and take, you know, the best way to know if you're praying God's will is praying God's word. Actually say, oh God, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border. One of the ways you can maybe get some other translations and read these. Enlarge my influence. You decide the extent of what you want to do through my life. And that your hand might be with me. And that you might keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And then you'll notice on the daily section, when you see the state of God's blessings, I ask you, God, to bless my life according to your will by... And then list some specific, it could be two or three things, it might be one. I'm asking you today to bless my life in this way. It could be a relationship with a child. It could be, Lord, I'm struggling financially. It could be I'm facing an evaluation at work and I pray that you'd help me to know how to respond in your blessings today. But be specific. Write it down. Simple. Clear. Seek purity. We cannot experience the blessings of God unless we are right with Him. Don't play games, folks. This is not about churchianity. This is not about God coming along and stamping a bunch of His junk on top of junk that you ought to repent of a long time ago. If my people pray this, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And then on that, as a part of that day, that today thing, when it says seek purity, right in there, please forgive me, God, for, and let the Holy Spirit bring to the surface what you need to write there. And I'm sorry for, let the Holy Spirit, and write something there. And then I suggest you see the promises of God. This is the daily part. And this particular one, this starts tomorrow. I will make you a great nation. The one we read a few moments ago today, God, thank you today for the promised blessings of. And you can claim, boy, you can claim some sweet things there. And then the last one, and then pray this. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And then under that, submit right in there. Today, God, I humbly ask for these personal requests from you. I'm going to be doing this every day, just like this, for the next 40 days. Do you want God's blessings? Let's pray. God, I know, Lord, I know this much. When we want your blessings, we have no idea the manner that you're going to choose to give them. But I know, God, we won't fully receive that which we do not fully ask for. Lord, in a moment when we stand and sing, I trust the people have had an opportunity they've been led by your Spirit to write on their card and at least say, I'm going to make a conscious commitment to these things. And I trust that as they feel led, they'll come and fill this altar with those 40 days of commitment cards. Help us, God, during these next days to look for the blessings, to look for you, God, how you're working around our lives. God, and we're going to need to look. We lift our hearts off of ourselves and the things that may seem so immediately difficult and depressive and hard. I pray, God, that you would enable us to know the fullness of you as the blesser God and to show this community what it's like to be the people of the blessing. Help Mimosa Lane to be known as the blessing fellowship. But God, for us to do that, we must live blessable lives. Lord, it could be that some need to come and spend a moment at this altar and saying, God, I'm not to a place where you can pour your blessings on my life, and I know that, and I'm coming to ask for forgiveness. Lord, this invitation is yours. Help us to respond in such a way so that we can get the fullness of your grace upon grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.